so much stuff, huh?
I'm gonna pack up my house.
Yeah. Just pack up, Michelle. Take your stuff with you. There you go. No problem. It's gonna be fun. Man, Thanksgiving and Christmas. I love it. It's one of my favorites. Well, good morning, everybody. Good to see you this morning. I'm Pastor Ryan. Get to preach the word this morning. I'm excited to teach some things today. And I don't know about you, but I've really enjoyed just walking with our small group through this series that we've been doing the last couple of weeks on the Holy Spirit called The God I Never Knew. How many of you in here are involved in a small group right now? Awesome. Some of you aren't, but that's okay. I'm going to review some of the information. I love this because there are so many things growing up that I'm so thankful that leaders and pastors and fathers and mothers and mentors in my life were able to teach me at a young age. And there are those moments where you just kind of, you're reading something or you're learning something that you just maybe have read before in the Bible or you've heard taught before, but a light bulb just goes off and you think to yourself, why did I never know this before? Like, this is incredible. We should shout this from the rooftops. And that's what how I feel a lot about the Holy Spirit, how I feel about what we've been teaching, because I think so many Christians think they know what the Holy Spirit, who He is and what He does in our life and how the Holy Spirit works. But in reality, we don't know as much as we need to know. So I'm just so thankful for, well, number one, the teaching of Robert Morris in this, the fact that he was wise enough to put a series together like this for the church as a whole. But I don't know. I feel in the atmosphere here at Generational Hope, just an excitement for Jesus, an excitement for the things of God, just a faith level rising. I mean, I think last weekend was just incredible hearing from those men from the men's retreat, watching people take that step of faith to be baptized. I mean, that stuff, I don't care how long you've been a Christian, that stuff just jacks me up. Watching people take those steps of faith and saying, yes, I belong to Jesus. I'm not ashamed of it. Yes, I'm ready to take this next step in my relationship with Him. And so today, I want to talk about baptism, biblical baptism, because if you've been going through the series, you probably heard this, but if you haven't, there are actually three different baptisms that we go through as believers that I'm going to go through today with us. But baptism is a powerful thing. It's a powerful symbol, but what I want us to understand and realize today is that baptism isn't just about a symbol, an outward sign, even though it is that. It's so much more than that. It's a powerful spiritual reality that we enter into when we take those steps of faith. The Father didn't just ask us to do these things because it would be a powerful symbol for everybody else. He asked us to do these things because He knew it would cause powerful spiritual breakthrough in our personal relationship with Him and in our life. And so we're going to talk about that today. And what I love about this is it's teaching us how to live a victorious life as Christians on planet Earth. I think the Bible tells us that we overcome by the blood of the Lamb, that's Jesus, and His sacrifice for us, and the word of our testimony. What makes testimonies powerful is the fact that people are testifying about what God is doing in their life, how He's causing them to be victorious. Now, a lot of people give testimonies, and they talk a lot about their past. They talk a lot about their history, all the mistakes that they made. And I've heard people go on for 40 minutes about all the ways that they were a rebel and that they messed up and they did this and they did that. And it's almost like a power trip. They're like, man, you think your life was bad? Check this out. And sometimes I listen to those people and I just want to stand up and go, okay, enough about that. What did Jesus do? Right? That's the power of the testimony. Is this is what Jesus is doing in my life. This is how He is making me victorious. This is how I've overcome. This is how I found my new identity in Him. That's the power of a testimony that defeats the enemy in our life, the enemy of our soul, the devil, who loves to lie to us, who loves to convince us that we are not victorious, that we never will be, that all of these things that we do as Christians, these little dog and pony shows that he thinks they are with our baptisms and our testimonies, it's all just a show. You're just trying to be a good salesperson for this thing called Christianity, but you know the reality is you're never going to change. You're always going to be the same. And this morning, I'm going to tell you keys in your life to make sure that you can shut that voice out and you can invite the Holy Spirit's voice into a greater level to show you who you are, because that's what I love about Jesus. It actually works. A relationship with the Holy Spirit, with the Father, with Jesus actually works. It actually leads somewhere. And I can tell you that with absolute certainty, the Father this morning loves the fact that if you're saved, if you have made a confession of faith to say, I believe that Jesus died for me, I know I'm a sinful person, but Jesus' blood washed away that sin so that I can be in right relationship with God and I'm going to spend eternity with him. That is great. And the Father celebrates the fact that we are going to one day spend all of eternity with him. But I can tell you with absolute certainty that the Father gets just as excited about the opportunity for all of us to be overcomers in this life. He didn't just set it up so that you get baptized and so you can get to heaven someday. He set it up so that you can enter into his family, enter into a relationship with Jesus, and then live a victorious life on this side of heaven through the keys that he opened up for us. Amen. Right? Because God, I don't know if you believe this or if you know this, but God designed your life, destined your life to be victorious. God is more convinced than you are right now that you will defeat your enemies. God, the Israelites got sent out after they left Egypt into the wilderness to defeat their enemies so they could enter into their promised land. And in God's heart and in God's mind, it was never a matter of if you defeat them. It was when you defeat them, this will be yours. And you have to understand that today. In God's heart and in his mind for your life, it's not, will I defeat my enemies? It is, you will defeat your enemies. But I think a lot of our walk as Christians, I know personally for me, it's not that we don't have a desire and a heart to be victorious, and we don't have just this drive that says, I want to be free. I think there's a lot of Christians that stand in worship and say things like, God, I so want to be free. I don't think it's for lack of desire all the time, but I think it's for lack of knowledge and understanding of what is available to us that makes us weaker than we need to be. This last weekend, we were watching the newest Spider-Man movie that came out last year, Spider-Man Homecoming. And so Spider-Man, it's pretty cool. I like watching those movies. Spider-Man, he's this 15-year-old kid, and he desperately wants to be one of the Avengers, right? To be on like Tony Stark's team with Captain America and Iron Man and all those other ones. But he's 15 years old, and he gets this brand new multi-million dollar Spider-Man suit from Tony Stark, who's like the genius that invents all these crazy weapons and cool things to fight off bad people. And so Spider-Man, this 15-year-old kid, is like full of zeal and full of energy and a desire to defeat like every bad guy that he sees, but he's getting beat up pretty bad. He's like out there and he's shooting his spidey webs and, you know, locking people's hands up, but then he's just like getting beat up. And so he's out one night trying to beat up some bad guys. And he's got the little computer voice in his mask, like talking to him, the AI, you know, that's talking to him. And he's like trying to figure out this new suit that he has with all these gadgets that are on it that he doesn't even know about. And so he shoots one of his spider webs at some guy, and it totally tases the guy. And he just like falls to the ground, and Spider-Man's like, what was that? And the computer voice is like, those are taser webs. And he just goes, my suit has taser webs? And she's like, yes, of course it does. And her comment was, you don't seem to know a lot about what your suit has available to you, do you? And he just goes, I guess not. And I just thought of that, and I'm like, that's how a lot of Christians live. We like have spidey senses that the Holy Spirit gives us and all these weapons at our disposal, and we're just trying to punch people when the Holy Spirit is whispering, you've got taser webs, man. Like, don't fight harder, fight smarter, bro. And I feel like the Holy Spirit just has this whole arena of things that he has for us at our disposal. And he's like, man, I wish you guys would do your research, because this God suit that you have on now is so much more powerful than you give it credit for. Right? You've been fighting that enemy for 3 weeks, and you could just shoot one taser web at him and take him down, and it would be over. And so this morning, sometimes it's just for ignorance and a lack of knowledge that we just don't know what we really have as Christians available to us as sons and daughters of God. So hopefully we will uncover some of those things this morning. So we're going to talk about baptism, because as I said before, there are actually three different baptisms that we go through as believers that do increase our power, increase our knowledge, increase our awareness of who we are. And we're going to talk about those today. First, I just want to cover the word baptize in the Bible is this word baptizo, which means to fully immerse, to fully submerge, to overwhelm. Right? And so I know a lot of times we think of water baptism. That's why we put a big tank up here and we have to fully dunk people, because baptism means you got to fully immerse. But I believe that the Holy Spirit baptism, you are going to be fully immersed in the presence of God, fully immersed in the power of God. When you experience the baptism of salvation, when you first believe, you are fully immersed and fully basically just overwhelmed into the family of God. We're going to talk about that today. So these are all tools that the Father gives us on earth that have been unlocked by Jesus to make us victorious on planet earth as we're here, and so that our testimony will be strong, our testimony will be powerful, that not only will we be able to say, I know that the blood of Jesus forgave me, but here's how I'm winning, through the power of the Holy Spirit and the power of the blood of Jesus in my life. So, I want to open up with this verse in 1 Corinthians 10. And I'm going to go through a lot of verses today, so don't feel the need to have to try to flip through your Bible as I do this. It'll all be on the screen for you. But 1 Corinthians 10, we're talking about three different forms of baptism today, and this is the Apostle Paul reminding the church in Corinth that in the Old Testament, the Israelites went through a type of all three of these baptisms themselves. He says, and get this, for I do not want you to be ignorant of the fact, brothers and sisters, that our forefathers were all under the cloud and that they all passed through the sea. They were all baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. So this is three Old Testament types of three New Testament realities of baptism and spiritual power that we get to walk in. And he's trying to convince these good, God-believing Jewish people that it's time for you to unlock the spiritual reality that's being unlocked for you through Jesus. And I think for all of us, we get stuck in our traditions. We get stuck in our ruts. We get stuck in the teaching that we got as young people. And we just believe, well, that's the first thing I ever learned, so it has to be right. And Paul's saying, no, listen, what you were taught is correct, but it's all pointing to this new thing that Jesus wants to do in your life. Right? So he says, he mentions you were baptized into Moses. Why would he say that? Because Moses was a type of salvation for the Israelites, wasn't he? He was their deliverer. Moses is the one that's responsible for getting the Israelite people out of captivity and slavery in Egypt to the promised land. You were all baptized into Moses, and then you were baptized in the cloud. You were baptized in the Red Sea, representing water baptism. The Red Sea was parted and the Israelites passed through, while the Egyptians were unable to follow them through the water, representing this water baptism that we go through in our New Testament life and leaving the old life of slavery and entering a new life in the promised land and the power as sons and daughters of God.
And then he says, you were baptized in the cloud. The cloud was the spirit and the presence of God that led the Israelites, the Bible says, in a cloud by day and fire by night. So it was representing the overshadowing of the Holy Spirit of God in the believer's life. He's illustrating three baptisms in the Old Testament that we are supposed to experience in full reality in our New Testament life as believers. So I want to walk through the three baptisms that we go through as believers in Jesus this morning. Number one, the Holy Spirit baptizes us in Jesus. The Holy Spirit baptizes us in Jesus into the body of Christ. 1 Corinthians 12:13 says, "For we are all baptized by one Spirit into one body, which is Jesus' body, the church, whether Jews or Greeks, slave or free, and we are all given the one Spirit to drink." So the Bible tells us that the Holy Spirit is the one that baptizes us into this new life in Jesus, into the body of believers. Number two, the disciple baptizes in water. Matthew 28:19, Jesus instructs the disciples. He says, "Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." And remember, water baptism is a sign, but it's more than a sign. It causes spiritual breakthrough. Just as the Israelites passed through the Red Sea and their enemies were unable to pursue them, they had every intention. Hey, if the water parted for them, it'll part for us. As soon as they got in there, the water caved in and their enemies were defeated by the presence of God, and they were able to move into their new life, into the promised land, without the Egyptians following them the whole way. They entered into a new life. The disciple baptizes in water, and then Jesus baptizes us in the Holy Spirit. Matthew 3:11, John the Baptist said this. He says, "I baptize you with water for repentance, but after me will come one who is more powerful than I, whose sandals I am not fit to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire." Notice that fire word again. What led the Israelites by night through the wilderness? It was the fire of the presence of God. So what we're seeing here is it's the baptism of the Holy Spirit, really, when we get saved. He baptizes us into Jesus. And I know if you grew up Pentecostal, a lot of the language we use for the filling of the Holy Spirit is, "Have you received the baptism of the Holy Spirit?" I would say yes when I got saved, because it was the Holy Spirit that baptized me into Jesus. You know that if you've been saved, you know that tug on your heart when you first heard this message of good news, and there's that pull on the inside of you to say, "That's what I want." That is the Holy Spirit initiating that process. He is baptizing you into the family that you've always belonged to, that he wants you to be a part of. He's introducing you to Jesus, saying, "Yes, this is a good thing. It sounds too good to be true, but you need to jump in with both feet." It's the Holy Spirit causing that initiation in your heart when you get saved. So we are, the baptism of the Holy Spirit is when we get saved, right? And then we get baptism in the Holy Spirit, and that's what Jesus gets to do for us when we invite the person of the Holy Spirit into our life. Is this making sense so far? Cool. This is all the stuff that when I was young, I wish somebody would have laid out for me, so I'm laying it out for you. So I want to talk about this pattern then. We have basically the baptism of salvation, the Holy Spirit baptizing us into Jesus. We have the baptism of water, the baptism of repentance, as John the Baptist called it. And then we have the baptism of the Spirit. And I want to tell you that Jesus, as our example of how to live on planet Earth, experienced all three of these baptisms in his life. Now, you might be thinking, well, Jesus was born perfect, so when was the point where he had to get saved? Where was his, like, come to himself moment? But the truth is, Jesus set the example because he didn't have to be born again. He was already born perfect. He was born in right relationship with God from the beginning. So he experienced his salvation. It was already there, right? So he went through salvation. He was a son of God, a perfect son of God. Now we get born again. We get saved. And I've got to tell you, we are born again when we accept Jesus into our life as perfect children of God, just as Jesus was. We are perfect in position, but not necessarily perfect in practice. When we get saved, we are perfect in position. That's why if you want to read this for yourself, it's all the first part of Ephesians. Paul's laying it out. You are seated with Christ in heavenly places. Your life may not look perfect. Your heart may not be perfect, but you are seated with Christ because you are perfect in position the moment that you accept him into your life. Okay? So Jesus was in perfect position with God. He was water baptized in the Jordan River by John the Baptist. And the Bible says that after he came up out of the water, the heavens opened and the Holy Spirit descended on him like a dove. He was spirit baptized before he started his public ministry. It was at that point, after he was baptized in the water, after he was baptized in the Spirit, that he went out and started performing his public ministry, preaching, doing miracles. So he's setting the example for the believer. There's got to be a baptism of salvation. There's got to be a baptism of repentance in the water. And there's got to be a baptism of the Spirit in your life if you want to be victorious this side of heaven. Right? So what am I saying? I am saying that, yes, you can experience salvation and you will go to heaven if you don't make it to the dunk tank or personally invite the Holy Spirit into your life. But what I'm talking about is if you're interested in living a victorious life, then you're going to need all three baptisms, right? We know that Jesus hung on the cross, and one of the thieves that was next to him on that moment while they were hanging on the cross together, that thief believed in Jesus, and what did Jesus tell him? In this today, you will be with me in paradise, right? He experienced salvation. He didn't get to get water baptized or filled with the Holy Spirit, but he made it to heaven, right? So, we are baptized into the baptism of repentance. And again, this is why I want to explain this, because it's more than just a symbol of, hey, I believe in Jesus. This is a spiritual breakthrough moment in the believer's life. It is experiencing the powerful spiritual reality of what the Bible would call the cutting of the flesh, our old dead work being cut away, and we are rising in resurrection life in Jesus. Much like what the Israelites went through in the Red Sea, and I've already explained this. We're spirit baptized by Jesus. And I love that because I believe that God reserves that privilege for Jesus. It's like, hey, son, because of your obedience, because of your sacrifice, we get to pour out the power of God on people's lives, and I want you to be able to do that. Jesus gets to baptize us with the fire of the Holy Spirit. It fills us with power in this life to walk as fully functioning children of God, endowed with the authority of our Heavenly Father. Like, I heard it put this way by a pastor in Yuba City one time, and I'll never forget it. He said, the Holy Spirit in your life is like, you may be deputized, like, as a sheriff in the kingdom of God, and you got the badge, but you know if there's a real bad actor, like, confronting you, sometimes if a police officer just flashes a badge, they're not going to really pay any attention to it. It's like, oh, cool, you got a shiny badge. What are you going to do about it? But he said, the power of the Holy Spirit is like the weapon that you get to pull on them if they don't want to pay attention to you anymore, right? If they're thinking about picking a fight with you, it's like, not only do I have a badge, but I got the gun to back it up. So if you don't turn around and put your hands behind your back, there's going to be some fire that comes down and you're not going to like it. Right? There's an authority behind the Holy Spirit's power in your life. The kingdom of God, the Bible says, is not just a matter of talk, but of power. It's like the Holy Spirit is the thing that enforces the talk that we're saying. Well, I'm a new creation in Jesus. Cool. What are you going to do about it? Well, I'm going to chop your head off today. That's what I'm going to do about it. Because you have no legal right to follow me around and harass me. I'm talking about spiritual enemies, of course. Right? We are spirit baptized by Jesus. And the biblical word for this power in Acts 1, verse 8, it says, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. The word power in that verse is this word called dunamis. The dunamis power of God. It's where we get our word dynamic power. It's where we get our word for dynamite. The definition literally is strength, explosive power, mighty work, and ability. It is the supernatural, explosive power and ability of God coming into your life to back up your testimony, to back up the truth of what the Word of God says about you. It is the firepower behind the badge that you were given when you experienced the baptism of salvation and God said, you are now adopted full force into this family. Here's your badge. And I'm going to give you the firepower to back it up. Pretty cool. Come on. You can experience salvation. It'll get you to heaven. But I like the idea of being able to walk through planet Earth and experience the power and authority behind who I am through the Holy Spirit. Come on, we're talking about the power of miracles here. The healing power of God, not just physically, but mentally, at a heart level, the healing power of God. Situations that we go through on planet Earth because planet Earth is broken and people hurt us and life events hurt us. The supernatural ability of healing on our innermost parts to be able to walk through things that without the Holy Spirit we would never be able to be healed from if we were just being honest. The supernatural ability for the things in your past, the rejection, the pain, the hurt, the abuse that you walked through, for those things on the timeline of your life to just become facts on the timeline instead of realities that still haunt you to this day. That's powerful stuff. The supernatural ability of peace to walk through the storms of your life. The stuff that happens with our kids, with our families, with natural disasters that the world just starts panicking over. But, and I'm saying it doesn't come from us. It's not our willpower and it's not our own self-control. It is the self-control, the peace, and the power of the Holy Spirit able, helping us to keep our head on straight as we walk through fire and storm and come out unsinged on the other side. This is good, isn't it? Come on. The thoughts and ideas that I get that are way smarter than I am. I know that wasn't just my good idea that popped in there one morning when I got out of bed. It was totally the Holy Spirit giving me wisdom, giving me an idea. When my daughter throws an epic tantrum for all the ages, and me and my wife just start like nipping at each other. Well, what? I don't know what to do. What are we going to do? I don't know. And without the Holy Spirit, we would just have a meltdown ourselves and everybody would be throwing a tantrum. And it's one big family party. One baby starts screaming, we all start screaming. But what is it? It's the wisdom of the Holy Spirit to whisper advice to you. Thoughts that you never would have thought of yourself. Whispers. Here's how you can help the situation. Here's what you can pray over your daughter to calm that thing down in her spirit. Man, it's awesome. The power of the Holy Spirit in a believer's life. It's the power of heart change. This Christianity thing is not about behavioral control. Yeah. Right. Yeah. It is about changing from the inside out. What is internally happening on the inside of me is causing my actions outwardly to change. It's not the other way around. It's not living in slavery but acting like you're free on the outside. That is not true Christianity, but it's because we got to get baptized into the reality, immersed in the Holy Spirit in our life. He's the only one that can do it. It's the power of the gift of faith to give supernatural belief and confidence over a specific situation that you may be facing in your life that would typically drain you of all your confidence and all of your ability to believe for yourself. The gift of faith comes on the believer through the Holy Spirit to say, I know who God is, I know what the Word says, and I know this is going to work for my benefit even though I can't see it right now. That is the gift of faith working in a believer's life. Are you sold yet? All right, good. That's the Holy Spirit, by the way. It's not me. I want to talk about this pattern that we see throughout the Scripture of salvation, repentance, and then baptism in the Holy Spirit, because I know there are some people that are raised in a background where they say, well, once you get saved, it all happens at the same time. I'm going to show you that, no, it doesn't all happen at the same time, because they're completely different subjects in those sentences. They're completely different events, even through biblical history, that we'll see working together but happening at different times. So the pattern here that I want to show you is belief and repentance, being baptized in water, and then receiving the Holy Spirit. So Acts 2:38, Peter was preaching up a storm. All these people, the Bible says, were convicted. They wanted to change their life, and they asked Peter, what must we do to get saved? Peter replied, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And then later on in Acts chapter 8, I'm going to skip around a little bit here, but it says, when they believed Philip as he preached the good news of the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. And then I'm skipping ahead a few verses, but it says, when they arrived, the apostles, they prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit had not yet come upon any of them. They had simply been baptized into the name of the Lord Jesus. Then Peter and John placed their hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. Here's another example. This is even later in the book of Acts, actually about 25 years after that first event of Pentecost that we talked about a few weeks ago, where the Holy Spirit first fell on the apostles. This is about 25 years later in Acts chapter 19. It says, while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul took the road through the interior and arrived at Ephesus. There, he found some disciples, and he asked them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? Basically, what's he saying? You've been saved, but did you receive the Holy Spirit? They answered, no. We've not even heard that there is a Holy Spirit. So Paul asks, then what baptism did you receive? They said, John's baptism. Paul said, John's baptism was a baptism of repentance. He told the people to believe in the one coming after John, that is, in Jesus. On hearing this, they were baptized into the name of the Lord Jesus, and when Paul placed his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they spoke in tongues, and they prophesied. There were about 12 men in all. So just as there's always been this complete unity and oneness in the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, there is unity and oneness in the three baptisms that we experience on earth. 1 John 5:7, I'm reading from the New King James Version. It talks about bearing witness in heaven and on earth. And it says, for there are three that bear witness in heaven, the Father, the Word, who is Jesus, because remember in the Gospels it says the Word became flesh and made its dwelling among us. So it's the Father, the Word, and the Spirit. And these three are one. And there are three that bear witness on the earth: the Spirit, the water, and the blood. Holy Spirit, water, the baptism of repentance, and the blood. That's salvation, because it's the blood of Jesus that saves us, isn't it? So three in heaven and three on earth. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit on earth. It's the blood, it's the water, and the Spirit. And what are they bearing witness to? They're bearing witness to the supernatural, that we are supernatural beings. We're not just human flesh, but there's a supernatural, spiritual, God-given element that we get to walk out on this planet. And John is reminding us this is where they bear witness. You getting it? I know this is a lot of information. Then there was the earthly tabernacle in the Old Testament, this place called the Tent of Meeting that the Israelites would set up in the wilderness as they made their journey toward the Promised Land. And the pattern was laid out for them on how to get into the presence of God. So the tabernacle was set up that it had one entrance. Jesus said, I am the way. There's only one way in to the presence of God. They had one entrance, and they would enter into what was called the outer court. And then there was an inner court that was the holy place and the most holy place, where the literal presence of God dwelled over the Ark of the Covenant, and the priest was the only one allowed to go into the most holy place, but he had to go through a process to get into the presence of God, just like we all have to go through a process to get into the presence of God, and we don't get to make up the process based on our preference. Can I just say that this morning? Well, I've heard that that last part's weird, so I'm just going to skip that, and I'm just going to wander through the back door. There is no back door. There is a process to get into the presence of God that God laid out, and there's no other way. People tried to make other ways, and guess what happened to them? They died in the presence of God. Now, that seems gruesome, but the reality is there are a lot of Christians that are saved, but they're dead spiritually because they haven't figured out the process to really get into the presence of God for themselves. Okay? So the goal is to get into his presence. From the outer court into the most holy place, here was the process. First, in the outer court, there was an altar where they would shed the blood of a lamb representing Jesus, right? The perfect and spotless lamb shed for the sins of the world. They would have to sacrifice, shed the blood of a lamb, and then they would walk up to this place called the laver. It was a basin to wash with water. What do you suppose that represents? Not just getting clean physically, but it was water baptism, the baptism of repentance. And then God instructed that any priest that was to enter into the Holy of Holies and every element of that tabernacle needed to be anointed with oil. So there was a flask of oil specifically created with specifications by God. This is what anointing oil is. This is how you make it. And it's not to be used for any other purpose than sanctifying the elements of the tabernacle and sanctifying the priests before they come in. So do you get the picture? What does the anointing oil represent? Oil in the Bible always represents the Holy Spirit, the anointing of the Spirit of God coming upon people. And so what was the three-tiered process? It was salvation through sacrificing the lamb. It was water baptism through washing in the water. And then it was the anointing with oil, the Holy Spirit baptism. And then you could walk into the Holy of Holies, into the presence of God. How cool is that? Yeah. Jesus made the way. So the pattern, believe and repent, be baptized, receive the Holy Spirit. And I'm just going to say this morning, as the worship team comes back up here, you guys can just kind of play in the background as I talk through this. But again, we're never the ones that get to set the rules for how we enter the presence of God. But I can tell you that the way that God set it up is so perfect, and it's so powerful, and it's so meaningful, and it's so right. And I was kind of just reviewing my notes this week, thinking about the Father and who he is and who Jesus is, and thinking that the way that Jesus set up his ministry, the first miracle he ever performed publicly was he turned water into wine at a wedding feast. And this was at the end of the night after all the wine had been drunk, and a servant came up and said, "Hey, we're out of wine. What can you do about it?" And the wine that Jesus, through his miraculous power, made out of those barrels of water, the chef came up and said, "This is the best wine I've ever tasted. Why would you give the good stuff? I mean, people are already half passed out. They're drunk. Like, who cares what kind of wine it is? Why is it so good?" And what was Jesus' statement? "The best is yet to come." And so I just want to encourage all of us this morning that as you're thinking, as you're processing, maybe through some old teaching, some old theology, some false belief systems, like, "Man, is this really true? I mean, I feel like I've read this stuff before, but it's never been put to me this way." I say, yes, it's true. If you want to live a victorious life this side of heaven, you've got to experience salvation, water baptism, the baptism in the Holy Spirit through Jesus. But can I just tell you, there should be no fear attached to any of those things, because Jesus always set it up to help remind us that the best is yet to come. You may be sitting here thinking, "Man, I felt like my Christianity was pretty good up to this point. I feel like I got a pretty level head on my shoulders. I feel like I get a lot of things." And can I just tell you, you ain't seen nothing yet. None of us have. I can remember Bill Norton came here, one of his first years that he came here, and Bill Norton's a prophet, so he hears from the Lord for people specific things through the Holy Spirit. And my parents were standing up here, and we all grew up in a Methodist church, so we loved God, we loved church, but the Holy Spirit talk was just a matter of theology. It was never like a personal invitation. Like, I never heard this preached. And not saying that I don't love my Methodist brothers and sisters, I still talk to them, they're great, but there was just a whole nother level of revelation that I'd never understood before. And so we're all kind of learning it as a family. And Bill Norton just looked at my parents, not knowing where we were from. He didn't know anything about any of us, but he just looks right at my parents. This was like the first year they started coming here. And he just looked at him and he said, "The Lord wants to tell you, you were kind of brought up in a religious background and you enjoyed your church life, but the Lord wants to tell you, you ain't seen nothing yet." And what was that challenge from the Lord? It was actually the Lord blessing them, saying, "Don't worry, the best is yet to come." Some of you have been Christians for a long time, and you may feel like your season of life in effectiveness in terms of ministry and who you can reach and the power that you can walk in, you're just kind of used up. Like, you had a good run, and now you're just going to finish out your retirement or your church life, just kind of being a pew sitter. And that's fine if that's what you want to do. The Holy Spirit's not going to force you in anything. But can I tell you, the best is still yet to come. We're never supposed to go through this life thinking, "Well, I hit my prime and now it's over. Too bad." We can all be used because it's the power of the Holy Spirit working inside of us. So I just want to just do some invitations this morning before we close out this service. First of all, just walking through these three baptisms, these powerful spiritual realities we get to enter into as believers. Number one, if you're here this morning and you can say that you've never really accepted Jesus into your life at a heart level, it's that believe and repentance thing. Like, "Jesus, I really do believe. I've heard the word this morning and I believe that your blood is powerful, that your blood cleanses me of all my sins, all my unrighteousness. Yes, I'm a sinful person, but Jesus, I believe that you died for me." If you want to take that step of faith this morning and let the Holy Spirit baptize you into this family of God, into Jesus, then take that step today. I want to encourage, some of us need to be water baptized. And you know what I love about watching people get baptized? The Holy Spirit always draws more. Like, we watched some guys get water baptized last weekend, and I know that for some of you, there was probably a tug on your heart that says, "Maybe it's my turn." And I would say the Holy Spirit may be saying maybe, but I know what the Holy Spirit is doing, encouraging you to take that step of faith. So some of you have been feeling the nudge of the Holy Spirit to take that next step of faith and say, "You know what? I want to be water baptized." It's a powerful statement, but it's a powerful spiritual reality that I need to walk through in my personal walk with the Lord, to know that my old life is completely cut off and that I rise up in resurrection power and I get to walk in newness of life with my history not following me around anymore. Some of you maybe were water baptized as babies by your parents. And I'm not taking away anything that your parents may have done for you as a child. That was them taking a step of faith, saying, "We believe that the Lord is going to watch over our children, and we're making a public declaration." There is nothing wrong with a public declaration from a parent saying, "We will do our best to raise our children in the ways of the Lord." But for you personally, you know that once you were able to consciously make the decision to walk with Jesus, to believe in who he is for your life, some of you need to get water baptized, because you need to make that personal statement in your own heart to say, "This is what I need. This is what I want. I believe Jesus is the one who set me free from my old life, that I'm a new person in him." And the last thing that I want to do, if that's you this morning, I would just encourage you, even if you want to, on one of the welcome cards in the back of the chairs in front of you, if you want to grab one of those and just on the prayer requests or praise report section on the back, if you just put your name down and say, "Hey, I want to be water baptized," those will get turned into the office, and then we can get a group together. And the beautiful thing about the baptismal we just got, we can set that thing up in an hour if we need to. And so we want to make that available to you if you want to make that step of faith. And the last thing I want to do this morning is I just really feel it would be stupid to leave a service like this talking about the baptism in the Holy Spirit and not giving people an opportunity to accept, to invite the Holy Spirit into their life on a whole nother level. Some of you, we all can experience the power of the Holy Spirit. We can all see it working. And I'm not saying that if you've never made this prayer or this declaration that you've never heard the Holy Spirit or felt the Holy Spirit, but I'm talking about going from a life where you're experiencing the Holy Spirit working around you to going to a life where you're experiencing the Holy Spirit working within you to a new level, that relationship. We've been learning this whole series that the Holy Spirit is not just a force. He's not just an entity that just kind of flutters in and flutters out and we just hope we catch him. The Holy Spirit is a person who wants to have a personal relationship with you, wants to walk beside you. And some of us today just need to make that declaration and say, Holy Spirit, I invite you to work in my life. So I'm just going to ask us to take a step of faith this morning. And if you just feel, you feel the Holy Spirit tugging on your heart today, that you just want that new level of relationship with him, you want to make a statement of faith that just says, I'm not going to be afraid of this anymore. I'm not going to let the enemy try to convince me that I don't need this or that it's weird or that it's scary. And you just say, I want to invite the Holy Spirit into my life in a new level today. Would you just stand with me today? Thank you. Thank you for your courage. Thank you for your boldness. And I just want those of us that are standing, would you just put your hands out in front of you like this, just kind of open. And the reason we do this, this is just a receiving posture. This is just you saying, hey, Jesus, I'm ready to receive the gift that you have for me. And so we're just going to let Jesus come and just fill us to that new level with the Holy Spirit. And I'm not going to ask you to do anything. I'm not going to ask you to start jumping around. I'm not going to ask you to start shouting. I'm just simply saying this morning, we are just going to receive. And you know what the cool thing is? Because it's coming from Jesus, there's nothing weird about it. There's nothing scary about it. It's all good because it's coming from Jesus. This is his privilege. He wants to baptize you at a new level in the Holy Spirit. And some of you that are standing, the Holy Spirit is a person. Sorry, I know that I'm talking a lot, but we got to know. We got to be instructed, right? This isn't a weird spiritual random thing. This is a relationship with God. And so some of you, because of your past, maybe your upbringing, maybe your doctrinal background, your religious background, because the Holy Spirit is a person, maybe right now you just want to ask the Holy Spirit to forgive you. Just say, Holy Spirit, forgive me for my wrong attitude towards you. Forgive me that I didn't fully understand who you are in my life. And so I just ask you to come to a new level into my life. Some of you just may need to release that out of your spirit, out of your heart, and say, I'm ready. Some of us just need to lay down our pride and say, you know what? I just don't like being out of control. And there was a lot of things that I thought I wouldn't like about this, but I just lay down my pride and in humility, I come before you, Jesus. And I just say, please, baptize me in the Holy Spirit. Amen. So I'm just going to pray. You can just hold your hands out and we're just going to receive today. Jesus, we thank you for what you did on the cross for us. Thank you for setting us free. Thank you for making it possible for us to be a part of your family. And Jesus, we just, everyone who's standing in this room in faith today, we just ask you to fill us with the Holy Spirit to a new level in our innermost being. Jesus, you're the one who promised that rivers of living water would flow from our innermost being. So those of us that are here standing this morning, just in faith, just simply receive. It's a gift that you promised you would give when we ask. And so every heart in this room is just asking for a new level of relationship with the person of the Holy Spirit. Amen? Amen? Oh man, that's so awesome. Oh, well now, let's just all stand together. I'm just so excited right now. I don't even know what I'm going to say next. I just thank you, God, for breakthrough. Thank you that there's new levels of breakthrough coming for all of us, God, as we take steps of faith for you, that new testimony is coming forth, God. We just thank you for these steps of faith. We thank you for the tools that you've given us to walk victorious in this life through you. So we give all the glory to you. We give all the praise to you in Jesus' mighty name today. Amen. Amen.
With every breath that's in my lungs, my heart cries out to you belongs the glory, the glory. Through every loss or victory, my soul will rise to only bring you glory. I bring you glory. We give you the highest praise. You deserve it all.
Spirit, we love you, and we just stay in this attitude of faith that says, come and do what only you can do in our lives. Fill us with that dunamis, that dynamite power that we need to blow our enemies out of the water, to walk victorious, to walk in newness of life, complete life in you, Jesus. So we thank you for today. Thank you for your presence, God, that we need desperately every day. It's in your name, amen. Hey, amen. Just a couple of things of follow-up before we all leave here, but I would just encourage all of us, those of you who made that step of faith this morning to invite the Holy Spirit into your life, and those of us that are still walking out that relationship, just be faithful to do your follow-up this week, right? In your prayer time, in your study, for those that you love, a part of the family of God with you that you can ask questions to, be faithful to do some follow-up, because I know that sometimes we just expect everything to happen in a service like this, but it's really only been 40 minutes, and there's a lot more that the Holy Spirit wants to do in your heart and in your life than he could do in the 40 minutes that we spent here. So just be faithful to continue to ask the Holy Spirit to reveal himself to you in greater ways. And I also just want to say for follow-up, I know I said if you want to get water baptized or if you have any other questions, to write those on the back of those welcome cards. And if you did that this morning, feel free to just drop those cards back at our Connect Center, And we will get those to the office for you so we can get all that information together. So bless you today. Bless your week. Go in the power of God. Go in the power of the Holy Spirit. We'll see you next time.